We are today going to focus on the subject of prayer. And we being as creatures of habit, we often fall into a pattern of doing things in certain ways. There's nothing wrong with having a habit, as long as it's a good habit. In fact, we ought to cultivate good habits because they carry us over in our weak moments. Things that we do, maybe by rote, but things that we do because of the right thing to do. But sometimes we begin to think that the way we do things currently may be the only way things ought to be done. What's interesting is in Luke chapter 11, and in verse 1 from our scripture reading, Luke 11 verse 1, it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Now I want you to stop and think for a moment. Those who are asking Jesus to be taught to pray are Jews. Shouldn't a Jew know how to pray to God? Think about all the prayers that are recorded in the Old Testament. There's a whole book, the book of Psalms, that are songs that are prayers to God. Shouldn't people, like the Jews who had God's word, know how to pray? Rather, what I think is that they, like most of us, tend to feel that our prayers are inadequate. And seeing the power of Jesus' prayers and the sincerity that he prayed with, the disciples wanted to be able to do the same. Having seen Jesus pray, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. And so, the first thing we need to consider is, what is prayer? There's two verses I would like us to look at. It's in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There are four words in here I want you to take notice of. In everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests may be made known to God. Now take a look also in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. "First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings who are in authority, so that they may lead, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." There's four words that are being used in both passages. There's a word that basically means the idea of supplication. A supplication is a request regarding a need. There's something that I see as I need and I ask. There's the idea of prayer. Both mentioned it. While it's talking about prayer, if you notice, it's kind of interesting. It talks about praying prayers. Making requests in prayers to God. Prayer itself is a word that actually means to worship. It means to praise God, to bring worship to God. And intercessions, depending on your translation, means to give an interview. Or more importantly to us, it means to request on behalf of another. There are supplications where I have a need that I'm asking God of. There are also intercessions where I'm asking God because somebody else has a need. I'm stepping in to ask on their behalf. And both verses talk about the giving of thanks. It's an important part of our prayer, being grateful for what we have been given. Those are the aspects of prayer that all of us should have. Not every prayer has all four aspects to it. But these are what constitutes prayer. Prayer is a way for the follower of God then to ask their Creator, to talk to Him, to communicate with Him. We are told to ask God for what we need. Take a look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and in verse 2. James asks this question, is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, you commit murder, you're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. Where are some of the problems that we have in life? A lot of them come from the fact that we just plain don't ask God for help. Too often we think we can do it on our own. Or that we're expected to do it on our own. We need to learn to humble ourselves. To ask God. Now, it's not that we ask anything from God. In John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. When we ask of God, we do it in Christ's name. It's with His authority, with His approval. It's not asking, hey, I want a brand new car, so I'm going to ask for a car. Or I want a new house, so I'm going to ask for a house. That's not what Christ is talking about. We ask for things in Christ's name, with His authority, with His approval, things that He has authorized. And when we ask for those things, Christ answers. Among those things that we ask for, to help for others. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Not just for ourselves, but for others as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. You also join in helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Many people had prayed for Paul. Now, notice why Paul says this is a great thing. Because when you see that those prayers are answered, many people are going to be thankful to God. Many people asked and many people's prayers were answered, leading to many people thanking God for what He has done. But it's not only just for help and those type of things, we also ask for pardon. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. And so, one of the things that God requires of us in our prayers is to talk to Him about what we have done wrong. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't ask a whole lot from us. He understands that we do make mistakes, but He wants us to admit that we're wrong. That we have to be willing to go to Him and say that what we had done had been wrong. And that we need His forgiveness. Not only for ourselves, but also we are to ask on behalf of others. Going to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and in verse 16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. When I know a brother is trapped in sin, struggling with it, desiring God's forgiveness, then it's upon me to pray for him as well. We ought to share our burdens and pray for one another. Because none of us can make it through life by ourselves. Now with that, the idea of prayer, remember, it was the worship of God, the praise God. We see this in the prayers that we find in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at Hannah's prayer. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. And notice how she words this, how much praise she gives to God. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no holy one like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down the shield and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. God will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and will exalt the horn of his anointed." This is Hannah's prayer in praise of the fact that God gave her a son and answered her prayer. Yes, she mentions it just real briefly right in the middle of it, kind of indirectly. But this is a prayer of praise for God. To talk about what God can do and does do for his people. How he changes the way the world works. Let's take a look at another example. This was a prayer by Ethan. It's in Psalms 89. Psalms 89, we're going to start with verse 5. "The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the sky is comparable to the Lord? Who among sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You yourself crush Rahab like one who is slain. You scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you." Again, notice all the praise for God. That's prayer. That's worship. To acknowledge where God belongs in our lives. Far above everything that we can imagine. Prayer is also about giving thanks. In Psalms 66, David gives praise to God as well, to thank him. In Psalm 66, and starting with verse 19, "But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. We need to take time to tell God thank you. When he hears our prayer, we ought to acknowledge the fact that God has done something. The whole world ignores God, but not his people. Paul also has something to say about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. There are so many things that God has done for us. We could spend all day thanking God. And we need to give thanks to him. Prayer is also, though, a way that we can come close to God, to join with him in fellowship. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and starting with verse 8, James chapter 4, starting with verse 8, it says, James 4, and in verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Prayer is a time to go before God. We praise the greatness of God, but we also realize how little we are in comparison. We have to humble ourselves before God, to draw near to him, to become a part of him. And realizing how low we are, God will raise us up. It's not that we're scared of God in that sense. We ought to have fear of God. But Paul tells us as Christians in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 12, says, in whom, and that's talking about God, we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in him. We have boldness. We have confident access to God. See, when we approach God in prayer, we know God hears us. We know God listens. Not because we're something great, that God has to listen to our prayers, but because we are God's children, God wants to hear us. And he takes time to hear us. And when we teach children to pray, a lot of times we assume that there's some particular way to pray, some position to pray. So like, for instance, we teach children to pray, now fold your hands and bow your head. And our children do the same thing as we do. But what's interesting is that when Jesus was asked by his disciples, teach us to pray, he didn't start out by telling them how to position themselves. And when we look in the prayers of the Bible, we find that praying is done in many positions. And we ought to realize there's no one particular position for prayer. I'm not going to take time to read all these passages. We'd be here at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon if I did that. But I want you to notice that in Mark 11:25 and Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, people stood as they prayed. But that's not the only way, because in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 5, and Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, people sat as they prayed. In 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 3, somebody was laying down as he prayed. In Luke 22, verses 41 through 42, and in Acts 9, verse 40, people kneeled as they prayed on their knees. And even if you take that, sometimes people kneeled with their hands spread towards heaven, as in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, when Solomon prayed about the temple. Ezra did it in Ezra 9, verse 5. Some people kneeled and bowed down in Psalms 95, verse 6, and Ezra 10, verse 1. Not only did some people kneel, they sometimes bowed. That's putting their face to the ground. In Psalms 35, verses 3 through 14. Or lying on their face, laying down with their face to the ground. Matthew 26, verse 39. And Numbers 16, 20 to 22. Some people turned their face upwards to God. Look towards heaven. Daniel 9, verse 3. Psalms 53, verse, or Psalms 5, verse 3, sorry. There's no one way to pray. When you go down through the thing, through it depends on the attitude of the person being shown as they prayed. Sometimes people looked at God. Sometimes people felt too sinful to even look. It depends on the person. I have a lot more I want to talk about. I didn't have a whole lot of time this morning, so I'm going to take the rest of the time to finish off talking about prayer tonight. But not only how we pray, but I want to also talk about, for instance, who we pray to, why we pray. These are the important aspects of prayer. God's given us a way for us to talk to Him. He has talked to us through His Scriptures. And through His Bible. He has told us what we need to do. And we can respond back to our Creator. There's an opportunity, though, this morning, if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, to do as God has commanded. There is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.